affiliates. Head On with Bob Kincaid in 1 minute. Mark. Affiliates. Head On with Bob Kincaid in 30 seconds. Mark.
Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, good evening. Coming up on 7 minutes after the hour, this is the Wednesday night edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. At the controls, my lovely wife, Agnes. You've heard the phone number already. Do you know the email address? Of course you do. It's bob@headonradio.com or Agnes, A-G-N-E-S, @headonradio.com. Either one will get you through to where you want to go. And where you want to go tonight, well, it's entirely up to you. If you've got a bee in, under your bonnet, a burr under your saddle, for God's sakes, take care of it. Get it out, because that stuff's not good for you. But more than anything else, like I said, it's Wednesday night, so you know what that means. It's the prayer meeting edition of Head On.
Every other Wednesday afternoon discussion club. We are going to have more to discuss on this every other Wednesday afternoon than we ever had on any other every other Wednesday afternoon.
That's absolutely right. And, well, what does that mean? Well, you know, Wednesday night's a great night, being prayer meeting night. It's a great night for looking at the wrong wing. Not the right wing, the wrong wing. A great night for looking at the fundamentalists who have, in this country, who have more in common with, say, oh, I don't know, the Wahhabis and the Taliban than they do with anything that Christ was ever associated with. So, you know, we've got that going for us, which is good. Beyond that, I've got something I hope we can, you know me, I'm an instigator, I suppose. There's something I'd like to... maybe get started, a way for you to have a little bit of a laugh, a way for us all to sort of enjoy ourselves, and yet at the same time protest this blatant, shameless, shameful assault by the Bush administration on our constitutional rights, and in particular the Fourth Amendment. And it had its genesis in a message that I saw posted today by an individual whose nickname online at Democratic Underground is Left NYC. And it was innocent enough. It started with a little message, you know, Dear Mr. President, I ordered a salad pizza for dinner last night. Could you please remove that phone call from your database of dangerous threats? Something like that. And it got me thinking, and we communicated back and forth. And what we're calling it, is the National Security Letter Campaign. And I invite you all to participate. I think you'll enjoy yourselves, and we'll make it a regular feature of Head On weekly. Heck, we might have to do it daily if the thing gets enough traction. What we're going to do. You know, we liberals, we progressives, we decent people, we Democrats, we lead lives of, well, you know, ordinary American lives. We're out there working. We're carrying the economy on our backs so that the one-tenth of one percenters can have another tax cut. A lot of us are out here working with no health care. We can't go to the doctor if we get sick. We don't dare get sick. You see how it works? So, I think what you might want to do is just tell dear leader about your day and your phone calls. And we should do it on a monumental level. Thousands upon thousands. Can you imagine millions of pieces of mail going to the White House? Dear George, today I went to the grocery store. I hope you don't feel threatened by that. Dear George, today I called my sister in Lompoc. We talked about the price of gas. We talked about my nephew's braces. I hope that doesn't threaten you too much, George, since you were listening in on the conversation. But since you were listening, now that you know what was in the conversation, you can tell Agent Fred to just never mind that one. Because, you see, what it boils down to is we need to get in their face with this, Anthrax. We need to let them know, sarin gas, that we're no threat. We are no threat whatsoever to George Bush, at least within a national security standpoint. We're no threat to him at all. The only threat we pose is by virtue of the fact that we love and honor and cherish the Constitution of the United States. We love and we honor and we cherish the blood that has been shed for the Constitution of the United States and the lives lost. We honor it all. And we can let him know that we do, in fact, honor it by sending him a letter. 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Washington, D.C. I mean, it's one of the most well-known addresses in the world. So what we do, send him a letter every so often. You know, what's a stamp? 39 cents now? Has it gone up yet? It goes up in the next couple of weeks, I know. 37 now, maybe 39 later, whatever. Send him a letter and make a copy of the letter or as you're using your word processor or whatever, copy it into an email to me, bob@headonradio.com. It's very easy. And I'll create a file. You know, no personal information. I'm not as interested in your personal information as what dear leader is. But what you can do is email it to me. And we will have either a nightly or a weekly feature where we'll share some of the, some of the exciting and seditious aspects of the American liberal lifestyle. Dear George, ate a pretzel today. Hope that doesn't scare you too badly. Dear George, took the dogs to the vet. Had to call the vet first to get the appointment, so you can remove that call from your surveillance list. It was just a harmless call to the veterinarian. So I hope you'll join in with me. We're calling it National Security Letters because, remember, that's one of the most hateful aspects of the Patriot Act. National Security Letters, that's where Agent Fred or Agent Tom or Agent Chuck takes a National Security Letter with a built-in gag order and drops it on your financial institution, your car dealer, your anything in your life. They can drop one of these National Security Letters on. You have no recourse. You don't know it's happened. You can't defend yourself against it, and that person has to give up every last piece of information that they know about you, your accounts, your buying habits, when you were last in, whatever the government wants, they have to give up. And in the National Security Letter, they are taught, or threatened, actually, they are threatened that they will, you know, for all I know, go to Gitmo if they let anybody know that the government's dropped a National Security Letter on them. So let's, look, let's reframe this. Let's redefine this. The real National Security Letter is a letter that goes from you to dear leader. The real national security letter is the letter that you send telling him just exactly how spooky your life is, what with you going to the grocery store and all. So, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, send him a letter, and on the other hand, send me an email copy of it, we'll share it. And you know what, we'll have a little coming together, we'll have a little group dynamic going on. Sounds good, doesn't it? I like it. This is Head On, I'm Bob Kincaid.
Dear God, hope you got the letter, and I pray you can make it better down here. I don't need a big reduction in the price of leave. The people that you made in your image, see them starving on their feet, 'cause they don't get enough to eat from God.
You put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah. Before her, there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The Man Ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org, because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Miners and mine operators understand the dangers inherent in working at a mine site. They also know how to avoid those hazards, but will they do it? Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. Many recent fatalities in the mining industry have resulted from bad safety decisions. For example, one victim fell from an elevated platform because he was not wearing a safety line. Tragedies like this don't have to happen if everyone in the mining workplace thinks about the job and makes the right decision. Safety begins with you. If you're about to perform electrical work, lock out and tag out before you start the work. Make the right decision. If you're a truck driver, you can choose whether to wear the seat belt. Make the right decision. MSHA's message to you is make the right decision in the mining workplace. Decide to be safe. Thank you for listening.
You know, the more I think about this idea, the more I like it. There's a number of different ways you could go about it. You could create my daily phone log. Just keep a little notepad there by the telephone and log your incomings and your outgoings. And, you know, once a week, send it to Dear Leader. Dear Leader, I understand that you are very much interested in knowing what ordinary private Americans who love their country are saying and doing. Thought I'd save you the trouble. Here are the phone calls I made, the times I made them. Please tell Agent Fred to remove them from the database, as they posed no threat. Oh, I think this is going to be fun. Let's go to Chris. Hey, Chris, you're head on.
Hey.
What are you doing?
The Manson Report wants to contribute a letter.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Just
the first letter.
Well, just throw it into the email, send it to me, and we'll make it part of the.
I've got a little bit of it right now.
Oh, okay.
Dear George, I was reading sadistic literature today, George Orwell. Now I know that's scary, George, and you haven't heard of him before, but he wrote really well. But I thought about calling George Orwell, but he's dead, so I guess I'll write you about it. George Orwell said, if liberty means anything at all, it means the right to tell people what they do not want to hear. That's so easy with you, George, because you don't want to hear what anybody got to say. And then I was driving down the road. I thought about calling about it, but I thought about I would call about it when I got back. And I started to swerve off the road when I got this jolt. And when I swerved, I noticed that line on the side of the road started making noise, and I thought, could this be where eavesdropping began? Could the CIA first have started eavesdropping on reckless drivers, and it just went off from there? No, it's a holiday, so I thought about this, George. A war on New Year's. New Year's, a war on New Year's, a time that it just reeks of alcohol and liquor and drugs and statistics.
Yeah, all the fun stuff that he used to do.
Yeah.
Probably
all the
still
acts
does.
That Republicans deny, but they still do. George, have you been making pretzels of cocaine and dipping them in chocolate and ingesting them? I haven't.
Yeah, see, that's the whole idea, Chris. You know, dear George mowed the grass today. I know that terrifies you, but you know, or you know, called my sister, called my brother. I love the idea of the phone log.
Dear George, I've had diarrhea all week.
No. We don't want to go there. We don't. That's a place we don't want to go, Chris. But the image that flashed in my mind was that of you're familiar with the wonderful holiday film Miracle on 34th Street.
Yeah.
You know the courtroom scene where they start bringing in the letters to Santa Claus and they just cover up the judge and just duffel bags of letters to Santa. That's what we need at the White House.
Oh, what about Mr. Smith Goes to Washington?
Is there a mailbag scene in that one, too?
Where Jimmy Stewart's pulling out the letters?
Yeah. You're absolutely right. I flashed on Miracle on 34th Street. I guess it's the season.
Yeah. What about a war on New Year's?
Oh, we're holding out for the war on Groundhog Day.
I mean, that's the day that brings out all the bad behavior in those Christian right wings, I mean.
Well, and arguably that's part of the Julian, the Roman calendar, so, well, you know, maybe. You know, because that's pagan.
We can make a phone call asking someone, then logging in, whether George is scared by Roman numerals.
Well, you know, Roman numerals, John
like
Ashcroft,
bars.
Calico cats. I mean, it's a weird bunch.
They look like bars. Joe bars. Sanity is not statistical, so who knows?
Well, by all means, you know, get yourself a 39-cent stamp. You know, be very nice, be very friendly. Say, you know, I was talking to my buddy the other day, and
that's just it. I don't make a lot of phone calls.
Well, but the ones you do, just keep a log, and you'll be golden.
I could give them a play-by-play of what I watch on television.
Well, you know, that's seditious too.
Yeah, the History Channel.
Make sure you give him a list of the, you know, because they're interested in libraries too. You take your daughter to the library, don't you?
Oh yeah.
Well, they'll be needing a list of her books.
Do you see where the guy made up a story that he ordered a copy of Mao Zedong's?
Oh yeah, I got egg all over my face over that one.
I think probably what it was not that he ordered it, but that he didn't understand it.
Well, no, I think it was entirely made up. I mean,
I know, but if anything ever came out of it.
Well, the thing is,
if they were quizzing him on what it meant, he probably couldn't tell him.
Now, see, here's the point. I'm very suspicious of this entire story, Chris, because it came from the professor, and he said the student reported it to him. And yet there was nothing, absolutely nothing, you know, not a word from nobody tried to get to the Department of Homeland Security. Nobody sought comment. No nothing.
Well, maybe the professor didn't want to become another war Churchill.
That's entirely possible.
Could be.
Yep.
Take care, Bob.
All right, have yourself a good one, Chris. Take care.
I'll do it.
All right, later. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more of your phone calls. This is Head On.
Found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops. I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back, thanking me for my concerns, and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off 2 indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. 1 minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Nobody said it would be easy. Nobody gives you guarantees.
Jack him up! and our equilibrium. It's so hard in the middle of the week. Maybe that's
So I think we know how the drill's going to work here with the national security letters redefined by the good people, our side, and a couple already across the wire email wise. Let's not give any names. Dear George, today I had phone sex with Jeff Gannon. Please delete the call because it was kind of private. You know how those calls with Jeff can get. And, of course, Dear Leader does know, or at least, Scotty McClellan's probably told him. From our good friend Jim in New York, Bob, I send the smirking chimp an email every week. I do not like this creep, and I will work to get him impeached. It's beginning to look like people might feel the same way. Yeah, it is. With the single exception of that liberal rag, the New York Times, and maybe the Washington Post. The impeachment word is the impeachment story that I find most fascinating so far is the response of Barbara Boxer. Now, she had a discussion with John Dean, who, of course, was part and parcel of, he was counsel to Richard Nixon. You know, the whole cancer on the presidency thing was his. And he said, look, George Bush is the first president ever to stand up and bald-face admit to committing an impeachable offense. And then, of course, we found out not just one impeachable offense. But, no half measures for Dear Leader. It was 30 or more impeachable offenses that he admitted to. And, as an added bonus, told us that he was going to continue to commit impeachable offenses. So, that's a hell of a note. But Barbara Boxer, having talked to John Dean, turned and then sent out to the information based on her discussion with him, sent it to four well-known, highly respected presidential scholars asking what they thought of what John Dean thought. That information has not yet become public, and of course Barbara Boxer being in the Senate, she doesn't have diddly, that's a highfalutin legal term, diddly, she doesn't have diddly to do with impeachment, but it's interesting to see the gravity with which this is being treated. John Lewis, congressman from Atlanta, and a tremendous human being, has said that if someone will present a bill of impeachment, he will sign it. And we all know what John Conyers is doing. So the groundswell, Jim, is definitely out there. I think you're right. Now, we're still marching uphill because we're dealing with a Republican House of Representatives that has, despite the... doggone it, what was it? legal scholar from Washington, D.C. He was big on the impeach Clinton thing. And he has come out. Oh, what's the name? Come on. Has come out and said that, yes, indeed, George W. Bush does need to be impeached for what he has done. Jonathan Turley, that's his name. And a professor at Mount Holyoke College has also come out and said there's no doubt whatsoever that these are impeachable offenses that George Bush has committed. But, well, you know how it goes when you're a Republican member of the House of Representatives. If it doesn't involve a Democrat having sex, it's not impeachable. Ugh. So we've got our first headphone sex with Jeff Gannon. Oh, my God. The mental